We're really happy to have him with us. I want to apologize for the late delay. I want to apologize for the sound. But I don't want to apologize for bringing Dr. West on to talk about these issues, because everyone's been clamoring about this. Dr. West, you have pumped new energy into the blogosphere. Folks that didn't pay much attention to this were all set not to care about this election until you started running, brother. What brings you out to run, Dr. West?
Well, one, brother, I get a chance to see you and Sister Sheila. That's already an uplifting thing. You met my beloved wife, Anahita, man, and you all like Asher and Simpson. You know, Asher and Simpson, precious love, ascended, and tremendous injection of vitality and vibrancy into everywhere they go. As you know, the Black musical tradition for me sits at the center, and I just want to be like a jazz man in American politics, which is to say, telling the truth, bearing witness, trying to preserve a little style, keeping a smile on my face, but most importantly, keeping the focus on empowering those Sly Stone called everyday people, those James Keith Cleveland called ordinary people. And that's what you do. That's what you and Sister Sheila do, though, brother. So I salute you, man. I really do. Because the thing is, you know, when it comes down, man, you and I, we part of the same tradition, man.
That's true.
We come from a great people, man. We've known every form of hatred, keep dishing out love wars. We know in every kind of terror, we keep dishing out freedom fighters. Knowing every kind of trauma, keep dishing out wounded healers, man. And so I have to be true, just like you got to be true. Mm-hmm. The love and vision and courage that has been poured into you by mom and dad and grandma and granddad or whatever church, mosque, temple you come from. I come from Shiloh Baptist Church. Hey, that's all in me, man. You know, no matter how much I struggle with it, up and down, that's all in me. And when it comes to politics, it's just another sight to tell the truth, to pursue justice here in hoods, the barrios, the reservations, poor communities. Same is true in, be it in the Middle East, Asia, Africa. That's who we are, man. It's what the Isaac Brothers sing about, man.
But Dr. West, you're running for to be the president of the United States of America. That's not something I ever expected. I expect a lot from you. I expect you to know all the Commodores music, to name several bands, to tell me how you tour with Bootsy Collins was, the power of a George Clinton breakdown. I expect a lot of things from you, Dr. West, but this caught me off guard, sir. I'm gonna tell you. So what? What possessed you? What's making you making this monumental move to run for president?
Well, I surprised myself. You know, I've said on many occasions, you find me in the crack house before you find me in the White House. Because the White House got more corruption, more lies, more mendacity than the crack house does. And so I surprised myself, though, man. But in terms of what my calling is and what my cause is, if I feel that the Lord can use me, if I feel that the movement can use me to be of worth, to bring voice and be part of a movement, because the campaign is just a moment in a movement, brother.
Right.
It's just a moment in a movement. There'll never be liberation of Black people and the Black masses and the Black poor by means of an election. That ain't going to happen. You have to have a movement. And you have people, movement that's overflowing electoral politics. You have people to put pressure on electoral politics. I come out of a tradition of social movements, as you know. And so it would be very surprising to see somebody like myself run for the head of the empire in order to dismantle the empire, to run for the White House when the White House itself has been so colonized by corporate interests and colonized by war profiteers tied to the military industrial complex. Who wants to tell that truth? Well, when you come out of the movement, then you're willing to have that spill over. Now, I've told my beloved wife, Anahita, that if I do win, I probably won't move into the White House until everybody has a house. Mm. That's just where I come from. Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
Yes.
But what that means is my priority is going to be the same as Brother Martin King's, Fannie Lou Hamer's. It's going to be the same as Malcolm, which is what? Put precious poor people and working people at the center of your vision, your analysis, and your policy. I'm an abolitionist. I want to abolish poverty. I want to abolish homelessness. Shouldn't have these precious brothers and sisters outside the White House, any other place, don't have a place to go to. I want to make sure you got strong living wages. So I support the best of the trade union movement. I want massive cuts in military budget. That's how you dismantle empire, to make sure you don't have 800 military units around the world trying to protect corporate interests tied to the U.S. flag. But when they see America, I want them to see the best of America. I want to introduce the country to the best of America. What is the best of America? Oh, Lord. Here come Don Coltrane. Here come Martin King. Here come Fannie Lou Hamer. The Black Freedom Movement has been the best of America. Now, there's some other non-Black folk who've been wonderful, too, in terms of the best of America. But I'm talking about from where I come from.
Right.
You see? And nobody's going to deprive the role of the Black Freedom Movement being the leaven in the American democratic loaf, which means anytime there's been democratic expansion of America in a significant way, it is more than likely come from the Black Freedom Movement.
That's right. Absolutely true. That's
and I'm just one little small voice and wave in that ocean, brother.
So looking at it from that perspective, are we saying that you're running more so to progress the movement as opposed to actually running to win the presidency?
Could be both. Could be both. I mean, right now, you know, you got a gangster who has been caught for the moment. We're going to see what happens with Trump and company. You got Biden as mediocre and milquetoast as ever. We're going to see how long he holds on. We don't know whether the No Labels Party is going to run somebody. Could be the brother from West Virginia. What's his name? Manchin, I think.
Manchin
with all of his deals that he could strike with Biden, but Biden can't strike a deal with him when it comes to supporting voting rights for Black folk. He can't strike a deal with him in terms of pushing back filibuster, but you can strike a deal when you're cutting back food stamps for precious poor folk and allowing the expansion of the military to still go on. That reveals so much about the mediocre, milquetoast, neoliberal Biden and his Democratic Party. And we just have to be, honest about that. And I'm not saying that to trash anybody. I'm saying it because they are rendering invisible the suffering of poor and working people here and around the world. But that's what I'm upset about.
Well, with that in mind, Dr. West, let me ask you the first question here. Do you envision leveraging your profound background as you talk about philosophy and activism to bridge a gap between social justice and practical policymaking? So if you did become president, how do you merge those two things into the American empire, so to speak?
I mean, one is, you know, you say, look, y'all realize that the country has the blues. It's time to learn something from the blues people. And so you start off with what the blues is about, which is catastrophe. It's catastrophe lyrically expressed and honestly confronted and artistically transfigured. So you have to come to terms with the catastrophes in your midst. Nuclear, possible given the war in Ukraine, proxy war between two empires, the Russian Empire, United States Empire, possible ecological catastrophe. See it every day, not just in the dark clouds in New York and DC. You see it across the board, disproportionately in poor people's community. Social catastrophe, economic catastrophe, gross wealth inequality. So that my voice is simply a voice that builds on the voices of a Black people who are a blues people who always begin with catastrophe. Strange Fruit by Billie Holiday. That ain't sing about no race problem. That sing about a catastrophe visited on Black people. Right. So the lens through which we view public policy have to be, we have catastrophes. 40% of Black kids are poor. That is a catastrophe. We got to hit it head on. How do we do it? We bring together the best minds. Again, like a jazz musician, learn how to listen, learn from others, bring in the best minds. This is how we're going to eliminate poverty. Just like you bring in the best minds, this is how we're going to get to Mars. This is how we're going to make sure the stock market remains strong. See, those on the side of the powerful and the wealthy and the ruling class, they bring in their best minds. Well, we got some best minds too.
That's right.
But we're looking at the world through a different set of lens. And we're going to do it with swing. Because swing is about a different conception of time. We're not on the same time as predatory capitalist processes. We're not on the same time as the white supremacist status that says you just move incrementally a little bit here or include some black politicians at the top and keep the hierarchy the same as they become accommodating to the powers that be. No, Duke Ellington say, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Swing means a different conception of time that authorizes a different future. A future that looks like it's impossible, but it can become real if we actually invest in what we're doing with love and courage and determination that the old folk taught us. Then we got to be improvisational, though, brother. We can't be dogmatic. We can't be doctrinaire. We're going to work with all kind of folk. Mm-hmm. We work with black nationalists. I'm not a black nationalist. I love my black nationalist brothers and sisters. I don't exist without Garvey. And I certainly don't exist without a great Muslim named Malcolm X. Muhammad Ali, or Naima Coltrane.
Wow.
You see, wow, I mean, brother. That's part of it. I'm a revolutionary Christian, but I don't exist without my Muslims. I don't exist without bell hooks, who's a Buddhist. I don't exist without a different people or different orientations, but the center has to be focused on poor and working people, on vulnerable folk.
Dr. West, I don't want to cut you off, but I got to ask.
Absolutely.
You brought this up. You just said it about Dr. Garvey. Marcus Garvey, and I know Dr. Umar voiced this question, and I reached out to him because I wanted to get him to expand. I saw a video, piece of content Dr. Umar put out, and he said that his concerns was that multiculturalism, and it's that if you run and you're talking multiculturally about bringing different people together, your concerns are not just for black folks but others, that somehow dilutes or hurts black folks. What would you say to Dr. Umar if he was here today in regards to that sentiment?
Well, one, of course, I'd want to, acknowledge my dear brother's love for black people as he expresses it. Of course, I'm going to have a whole lot of disagreements with the brother in terms of what some of the implications of what he thinks loving black people is all about. But I do like the fact that he gives black people a priority. Why? Because so often we are an afterthought. He's absolutely right about that. I'm not a multiculturalist in terms of thinking everybody got equal status. No, my mama's black, my daddy's black, my family's black, and so forth, you see. But it's not just tribal. And see, this is where it's very important to keep in mind. It's not just tribal. You see, it's moral and spiritual in terms of he or she who has earned their status as freedom fighters for black people. And all of the great black freedom fighters have always been freedom fighters who started on the chocolate side of town, but embrace other oppressed people, Caribbean and Africa and Latin America, in the U.S. empire and so forth. So that if, for example, you know, he would argue, well, we have nothing to do with vanilla brothers and sisters. Well, no. You got John Brown, you got Lydia Maria Child, you got Zelfia Horton and so forth. Vanilla brothers and sisters who earned their way into the black freedom struggle. The same way Bill Evans on the piano at Miles Davis's quartet, who's a white brother,
yes,
earned his way to be in the band. Or the way Greg, who played the drums with Sly and the Family Stone, he earned his way in the band. He ain't just no white add-on, but on the other hand, he ain't no ordinary white brother either. So that in that sense, the black freedom struggle always gives a priority to black suffering and black people. Why? Because that's the lens through which we view the world, but we don't stop there. We embrace the struggles of oppressed people all around the world. And so in that sense, I would just ask the brother to keep me accountable. That's a beautiful thing. Keep me accountable. You think I'm forgetting about black folk? Let me know. Let me know.
I looked at your website. I looked at the policies that you are addressing. When I talk to you, it's black, very, very much enriched with black culture. And I don't think anybody that listens to you talk for more than 2 minutes gets the impression that you're very committed to the upliftment of black people and all oppressed people, but particularly black people. But when you look at the website and say you haven't heard Dr. Cornel West, you don't see a mention of the word black now one time, Dr. West. So I understood his position.
Right.
But that's true. Maybe he was just unfamiliar with, I know I've never spoken to you where the subject didn't come up in some way, shape, or form. What about those that are concerned that talking about blackness, getting to the People's Party, they have some issues with some black folks, former folks who started the volunteers, black organizations. They say that the MPP and you are going to be hamstrung by these folks who don't be, that aren't so addressing or so focused on black issues.
Well, one is that, I mean, reparations are going to be very much a crucial part of what I'm talking about. But in addition to that, let me just say something about the People's Party as it relates to the future.
Please.
That I'm actually making a move toward the nomination for the Green Party presidential process. And so that sense of being able to be part of a Green Party that has a scope and a breadth that the People's Party does not. I appreciate the People's Party coming to me. There's no doubt about it. They have their own baggage. They have their own breakthrough. They have their own limitations and so forth. And I'll always tell the truth about anybody in a process. But at the same time, there's also no doubt as well that there's a whole host of things about the People's Party that is a distraction. I ain't got time for it. I'm focusing on the people. I'm focusing on resistance. I'm focusing on the suffering. I'm focusing on how we move forward. And so when I had the meetings with Brother Barack and the others, individuals to say, why don't you run for the Green Party nomination? I said, absolutely. I'm a jazz man. I'm improvisation. I'm looking for how you proceed, keeping my eyes on the prize. Now, I'm not going to be trashing the People's Party. They got all kind of problems. But I acknowledge that they're the ones that came to me, and they had their own program. That's the program that's on the computer and so forth. But as we move, you can imagine. I mean, every speech I give, every moment that I breathe,
I know this.
It's connected to precious black folk. I mean, good God Almighty! And it's not, again, you know, it's not a tribal thing, man. It is. It's personal. It's existential. It's moral and spiritual. We have the greatest tradition in the modern world of artistic creativity, moral courage, and spiritual fortitude in our music. And I just want our politicians to be as free as our musicians to tell the truth about catastrophe, to authorize a different future, and to be improvisational enough to be able to sustain your struggle from womb to tomb. We don't want no folk coming out of the blocks and so radical in their 20s and radical in their 30s and where they end up. Careerists, opportunists, mainstream, well-adjusted to injustice, well-adapted to indifference, accommodating to the status quo, and then want everybody to give them a standing ovation because they black folk in high places. Hey, not impressed.
Right.
Not impressed. I want to know, what's the quality of your struggle? What are you willing to give up for? What kind of risk are you willing to take? Do you make it a priority for Precious Jamal and Letitia in the hood? And that's true for poor folk across the board.
I knew you felt that way, Dr. West, but me saying it only, you know, it doesn't have the same gravity as you saying it. Yeah, and then people say, well, you know, you're a friend of Dr. West. You know, you hung out with him in Ohio. You've had him on the show a couple times. Why are you caping for Dr. West? I know how you feel because you've expressed it over and over and over again. It's been one of my shining guiding lights in my latest move to do certain things differently with my show. My audience has expanded to grow to more black. And I want to add, there's a question attached to this. One of the things I notice is as I've attracted more black folks, I talk more about reparations of these issues. I got to keep repeatedly, Dr. West, letting people know I got you. You know, I'm with you. I got black wife, black house, black car, black kids. I'm black, born black, going to go out black. But I got to keep reminding them because we've been so betrayed in the past. And I got to temper my frustration with that reality. I think that's the same thing you're going through, or the same thing you're definitely going to deal with. You're going to have white folks question if you're too black, and black folks question if you're black enough.
No, it's true, though, brother. And you and I know that in the end, it's not about me. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's whether we can be used by something greater than us. It could be God. It could be the greatness of the Black Freedom Movement. It could be Allah, whatever language you use. Mm-hmm. Something is working through you, the fire inside of you that keeps the focus on something bigger than just our egos, bigger than just our status. It was in place before we were born, trying to ensure that Black dignity, Black decency, decency could be affirmed. It will be at work dead. So that in that sense, you just want to make sure you're true to the best of the truth you. And that's how you keep it black. Because blackness is a spiritual and cultural achievement. It's something that's just a given. That's why it ain't a skin pigmentation. You see, it is a greatness that has been created by a people who have been degraded, who generation after generation could pass on the torch of artistic creativity, moral courage, and spiritual force. In the temple, on the corner, on the block, in the club, but the whole world wants it. That's why our music is global, felt in every corner of the globe. And our style is global. The question becomes, how do we produce political leaders who have that same level of courage and sacrifice for everyday people? See, that's the crucial thing, you see. And so in that sense, you can be walking around black and scared. Whether you're black and scared, because one of the fears of the powers that be in a white supremacist society is black love is a crime and black freedom is a pipe dream. Keep believing that you ought not to affirm black love and black freedom and black joy and the best of black history. And when you do, if you know you're going to pay a cost, you know you had to play. Black love is a crime in a white supremacist civilization. Anybody who deeply love black folk got to get ready to die. Because that means you're willing to give it all. It's like loving mama. It's like living mama. I love mama, but won't take a bullet for it. And hey, you a coward. You a chump.
There it is.
You got to meet the test. And that's what Dr. West, serious talk about blackness is all about, my brother. Yeah. That's what serious talk about is all about.
It is. It's very serious. And, you know, Dr. West, they're already undermining your campaign. Has just started with talks of how you are going to cost them the election. It's, you know, you're going to pull votes from Joe Biden. And it's ironic. They never say you're going to pull votes from Trump. They never say you're going to pull votes from DeSantis, only from Biden. But I don't know if you responded to this.
These people don't own black people's votes or own other people's votes. No.
Right. Right.
We come from a people whose anthem is lift every voice. It ain't echo and you can have my echo. No, my voice is my voice. This is where I'm going with it. If Biden had dealt with poverty, if Biden had dealt with the plight of Palestinians on the West Bank, 551 babies killed in 50 days in 2014. He and Obama can't say a mumbling word. I come from Shiloh Baptist churches that said Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black or white, they precious. And his sight, a Palestinian baby has exactly the same value as a white baby, a black baby, a brown baby, any other baby. And if it was the other way, there was a Palestinian occupation of Jewish brothers and sisters and Jewish babies that had been killed at the same rate, I'd be saying the same thing.
See,
it's a moral issue. It's a spiritual issue. That's the kind of cowardliness you get, not just in Biden, in the Democratic Party as a whole. The black politicians won't say a mumbling word. Biden say America's not a racist society. I said, get off the crack pipe, brother. Here come Kamala Harris. No, it's not racist. Here come Clyburn. Well, there's still some patches of racism. Hey, I ain't got time for that kind of cowardliness. Please. We got these black folk out here suffering mass incarceration still going on. 40% of our children living in poverty and they can engage in that kind of gibberish.
Yes.
What are we talking about here? You see what I mean? This is the kind of thing needs to be called into question. That's all we talk. Call into question, but that's what Bootsy and George Clinton about. Keep it funky. Don't deodorize the discourse. Don't sanitize it. Don't sterilize it. And when you keep it funky, that's where the love is. That's where the freedom is. That's where the style is. That's the history of a funky people. With all of the nobility and royalty of black folk in that funk.
I'm just taking that in. Dr. Cornel West, they want to talk about being on the ballot. They want to talk about, you know, access to the ballot being imperative to actually winning an election. But now that things have seem like they've changed, as far as you running with the Green Party, that kind of nullifies that question, does it? Let me just ask it anyway.
Well, Well, absolutely, because now we got already, we start out with 20, they can get another 21 in a month. See, I thank Brother Baraka and the others who are kind enough, Sister Jill Stein.
My brother, yes, sir.
Just to talk about this. But keep in mind, I still got to go through the process, though. You know,
right. Still got to win the nomination, correct. The
nomination and so forth. But I'm on the move, brother. Ain't no stopping us now. Somewhere I read.
that is something else. Now, you know, I supported Dr. Jill Stein and Ajamu Baraka when they ran, and I consider Ajamu is still a good friend. So
I was right there with you doing that. But no, Brother Baraka, he's a giant, man. He's a giant, so brother. He really is. Sister Jill, you know, of course, we love and respect
absolutely.
Too. But Brother Baraka, man, in Latin America, all around the world, he's a freedom fighter of the highest a level. It was a generation in so many ways. I was just with Sister Margaret Kimberly of the Black Agenda Report and talking about the great legacy of Glenn Ford
and
Dixon and others. We had a wonderful, wonderful time in that as well, though, man.
So getting back, I guess, back to this election, you've worked closely with state elected people, folks such as Nina Turner, our great sister Nina Turner. How are you planning on collaborating with state and local governments to implement your policies, Mr. President?
Well, one is, again, you know, you always take, for example, the vote right in Atlanta for Cop City. You see Black neoliberal leadership completely cave in to corporate interests that have little to do with the interests of Black poor people and Black working people. And 11-4 with the Black mayor leading the charge, right? Which means what? Which means even as president, you got to set an atmosphere and a tone so that the political discourse puts a premium on Black people in the community who have too often been brutalized and murdered by policemen. So that when you talk about Cop City, the militarization of your whole police department, and of course, that's going to go national very, very soon, you see. You side with those 200 and some voices that spoke against it at the city council meeting. As president, you don't say, well, if I had a son, it would look like Trayvon. And then say, when the court comes with the decision against Trayvon, you say, we're a nation of rules and laws. Well, slavery used to be a law. Jim Crow used to be a law.
That's right.
So much of American law is still deeply racist. You have to be able to take a stand based on principle as it connects to the needs of one's community. In this case, the Black community, even though we know police also brutalizes and shoots other folk as well. Indigenous, and even some of our white brothers and sisters get shot.
Absolutely.
But I'm starting on the chocolate side. And so in that sense, you can be a teacher. You can be a public teacher, because a lot of people don't get a chance to look at the world through the lens of the best of the Black freedom movement. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get even the Black leaders, as much as I love my dear brother Sharpton, what did he say the other day at the funeral there at Memphis? He said, Martin Luther King Jr. got up on the mountaintop, and I'm going to tell you what he saw. What did he see, Brother Al? Tell us, Brother Al, what did he see? He saw Barack Obama and Kamala Harris. No, he didn't. Quit lying. Get off the crack pipe, Brother Sharpton. That's not what Martin saw. What did he see, Wes? I don't know what he saw, but he didn't see that. My hunch is what he saw was new pharaohs in different colors.
Mm.
That's what he saw. Yet he saw the greatness of the Black freedom struggle such that even with the new Black and brown and women pharaohs, that they will still be able to keep fighting with a power, a vision, a determination. That's what Martin saw, giving his life the next day. Well, you see, we're in a moment now where people don't get a chance to see the real lens through which Martin looked at the world.
Mm.
The bombs dropped in Vietnam, fall in ghettos because 57 cents of every dollar goes to the military-industrial complex.
That's right.
And yet when it comes to jobs with a living wage, we got to support our trade union movements at their best. When it comes to Medicare for all, that's what Brother Bernie was right. When it comes to decent housing and so forth, they don't have a penny. In fact, they take back food stamps as we saw in the recent debt ceiling agreement, you see. And that's the Democratic and Republican parties together. So we had to have at least a freedom to tell the truth. Then we hope to have institutional means. That's why you're right, the Green Party is going to make a big difference in terms of ballot access. But it's not just about ballots, not just about numbers, brother. That we come from a great Black people who we deal with the invisible and the immeasurable. And what's invisible and immeasurable is our spirit, is our joy, is our determination that can never be snuffed out or suffocated by any power or any bullet. That's not just a matter about ballots. That's a matter about being a human being and building on the legacy of those who loved us, the Irene B. Wesses, Clifton Wesses, Reverend Willie P. Cook, Shiloh Baptist Church. That's what's inside of me. And I know you got precious names inside of you.
I do.
Sister Sheila got precious names inside of her. That's part of our greatness. We can't lose it.
That's part of the reason why I'm so enthusiastic. Some folks don't get it. Just having these conversations and forcing these two parties to have to answer to that in a public forum is so valuable to the public discourse and to elevating these concerns to people that don't normally hear about this. Just having your voice at the table with someone of your stature, Dr. West, where it gives credibility to the concerns. They have to address it. They just can't ignore it. They're ignoring it now. But as this continues, it's going to build up, and they're not going to be able to ignore you when you call out Brother Biden, President Biden. If you were willing to call out Obama, I already know. So I don't know why people don't understand it. It translates.
Trump on the one hand and those who are trying to imitate him on the other. Where is the truth and justice? That's the crucial. And the other side of this thing too, though, brother, is, you know, we got a younger generation coming along, man. They're so hungry and thirsty. We were talking about Ashton and Simpson, you and Sheila. They hungry and thirsty for the real thing, you know. Ashton and Simpson say, ain't nothing like the real thing.
That's right.
And for them to be able to see more examples, yourself and Sheila and the others, to see that, it becomes contagious. So they're willing to push back their fear. You got to break the back of fear. We got too many Black folk running around scared and laughing when it ain't funny and scratching when it don't itch and don't want to straighten their backs up and tell the truth and proceed in such a way that they can connect with others. See, that's a spiritual thing, man. That's not just political.
That's because of the backlash you received, Dr. West, when you do stand up. And the followers that you lose, the subscribers you lose, the world you lose, the jobs you lose, all those dues you have to keep continually paying until you are autonomous and you say, you know what, I don't care. You're not free until you're able to do that.
So, know you're right about that.
You gotta be free to do that. What about these criticisms?
Freedom is a beautiful thing, though, brother. That's the thing. Freedom is a beautiful thing. You can be broke as the Ten Commandments and still be free. I'll tell you, when I get to the White House, I'm going to pardon Mumia Abdul-Jamal. I'm going to ask Asada Shakur to come home. I know she's already home, but come on home if you want to. The same is going to be true for H.R.A.P. Brown in Arizona. Same is going to be true for Julian Assange. Same is going to be true for Ed Snowden. Why? Because they're innocent. And if I have that kind of power, pardon, I'm going to use it. We ain't even got the reparations yet.
There you go. Is that a cash reparations or some other form of reparations?
It's going to be whatever form of reparation the community comes up with. I don't want to dictate prematurely, but let those voices be heard. But it has to do with truth and justice and the scope of the damage that done to Black people psychically and economically has to be addressed. And that's what reparations are. It's about the truth of the damage and then the repair required to speak to that damage. Truth and justice at the center of reparations. That's what Randall Robinson is all about. And that's what I like even about Brother Coates. The Coates' essay in 2014 was a very important voice for the younger generation.
That's right.
I've got my other critiques of that, brother, but his voice is very important. Why? Because all of us learn from each other. No one of us have a monopoly of truth. And when I hear you speak, I know I got to listen. Why? Because it's coming from your heart. Just like Curtis Mayfield, it's coming from your heart. If we disagree, we could agree to disagree, but I'm going to love my brother Tim all the way down because I know he's the real thing too.
I'm a work in progress, Dr. West.
I'm a work in slow progress, but I'm glad somebody's praying for me, God.
Before we get out of here, they were saying Ron DeSantis. They were sending some heat your way, some shade your way, Dr. West, because they say you gave him praise. I didn't read the op-ed. I know it was an op-ed, a co-op-ed between you and another gentleman, and you made some comments about education. Could you clarify that for folks?
I have worked with some brothers and sisters trying to push the SAT test out and bring in what they call a test for classical education that goes from Socrates to Toni Morrison, that goes from Sophocles to James Baldwin, the classics. Then would be true in music. It could be Beethoven, it could be John Coltrane, it could be Chopin, or it could be Sarah Vaughan or Nina Simone. The classics are those towering artistic works, and I've always been deeply dedicated to the towering works, be it in Egypt, be it in Nigeria, be it in China, be it in the United States, be it up in Europe. And so he happened to sign the bill that pushed out SAT and brought in that exam. And so I said, okay, I got this little 2% agreement with DeSantis in that regard. 98%, we going at it tooth and nail. He's a xenophobe, right wing, right across the board. But I'm still someone who is always willing to give anybody their due.
Mm.
That's very important. For example, I'll give you a quick example in terms of even the gangster Trump himself. When he had a critique of NATO, I agree. NATO has been the instrument of U.S. imperial policy. One of the reasons why we're wrestling with this situation in Ukraine right now is because the United States promised Russia that it would not move one inch. Decades later, now they got 14 former Soviet nations as part of NATO. Everybody knows that if Russia had missiles in Mexico and Canada, U.S. would blow them to smithereens overnight. How come? Because empires do that. Russia is a wounded empire. Putin is a gangster. The invasion is criminal, but he's been provoked too. And he's provoked by the U.S. empire. And U.S. empire has no moral authority when it comes to invasion and occupation at all. Latin America, Guatemala, Iraq, across the board, United States engaged in invasion and occupation. And yes. It doesn't make it right. Nobody ought to do it. We have to be consistent in that way. So for me, the important thing always is, brother, trying to put a smile on Fannie Lou Hamer's face. Yeah, you see, this is the highest levels that they set in loving us and loving Black people and in allowing it to spill over. Fannie loved everybody, but she started on the chocolate side of town. Nothing like that. There's never been a people in the modern world who have been so thoroughly, chronically hated, and yet keep teaching the world what love really is. And that's my tradition. See, that's Toni Morrison's Beloved. That's John Coltrane's Love Supreme. That's the love train of the OJs. That's the love-soaked essays of James Baldwin. And we'll go to the grave, true to that tradition.
Dr. Cornell West, where should people go to support your candidacy?
You go to CornellWest24.com, and you'll see, in fact, now, as I said, you know, the Green Party being the fundamental partner at the moment. Keep in mind, what we want is a united front. What we want is a coalition that's going to be open to all parties, all formations, including the People's Party itself, even given their problems. I want an openness in this regard, but the Green Party will be the process for my nomination. And thank God they've got the ballot access, and thank God they've got figures like Baraka and Stein and others who I think are towering figures in so many ways.
Dr. West, if donations are made to your campaign today, where do they go?
They go straight to the campaign.
Okay.
Straight to the campaign under the auspices of the Green Party.
Y'all hear that? I'll make sure people hear that. Dr. West, I want to thank you for your time again. Tell the lovely and the great Anahita, we said hello. We send our love.
Thank you.
And I hope to see you again as this process unfolds, brother.
No, we're going to have many discussions because I'm going to be learning from you and Sister Sheila and all of the wonderful folk who listen to your show, though, brother. Because, see, we're in it together, man. And we got so much to learn from each other. Not only that, but, you know, you inspire me, man. And we need inspiration. You know, these are very depressing times. and we need inspiration from each other. So our conversations are not just the radio, the regular podcast conversations about X or Y or policy, but we also reveling and resonating in each other's spirit so that we become even stronger after our encounter and our exchange. That's also what we want with the audience. You see what I mean? We want to speak to their souls, not just policy. All you got is policy. You ain't got no soul. You're not a soldier. You're not going to fight. And if you're a coward, God can't use you. The freedom struggle can't use you. Nobody can use a coward.
That's right.
And that's what we want to exemplify. James Baldwin says in that letter to his son, to his nephew, the most important line in that letter, don't, comma, be afraid. Mm. And of course, we know how biblical that is. Be not afraid.
Not afraid.
Old Testament, New Testament, through Garvey, through Ella Baker, be not afraid. Stand up. Of course, we can go to Bob Marley on that.
Yes, sir. Stand up. Yes, sir. And
Sly Stone, you've been sitting much too long.
There's
a permanent crease in your right and wrong. That's the genius from Vallejo, California. That's our tradition. What a great people. What a great tradition.
What a great people. That's it, folks. You know where to go. CornellWest24.com. You know where I'm at. Tim Black at TimBlackTV.com. I'll see you soon. And with that, we'll check you out next time.
Love you, brother.
Love you more. My brother.